Commandments, as we've been looking at them, help us to understand something, our relationship towards God. The first four commandments deal with our relationship directly with God. That's that vertical section of commandments. Not to replace God, not to reduce God, not to mock God, to honour him. The fifth commandment onwards seems to focus on our horizontal commands that deal with our relationships with one another. It seems like God is saying in these commandments, now you've started to get your relationship with me right, I also want you to work that out now within the relationships that you have. This commandment, by the way, is repeated later in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. If you have a Bible, keep it in Exodus, but also go to that Ephesians passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want to say right at the beginning, often our relationship with our parents colour how we view God. And for some of you this morning, what we're going to be looking at may well be really, really tough. You didn't have a great relationship with mum and dad. Maybe you don't have a great relationship. Maybe you this morning have been or felt abused. You've been in a controlling environment, cold, distant. And maybe some of us here this morning have felt loveless and we've been criticized all the time. It's not so much what was said, it's more to do what was not said. Listen carefully. I don't want to minimize anything of your experience and your feelings. But I do want to emphasize something here. The original word for honor, kabed, the original meaning has a part of it, that sense of duty, heavy, hard, and difficult. Sometimes it's really hard to honor somebody. And I pray that this morning, as we unpack God's word, that God may minister into your life from where you're at, from your experiences, and discover again something of the heart of Father God for you that's broken for you. But as we begin, I've got a question to ask you. Now, most of you are sat by someone quite nice. So let me ask you the question, what does honouring your parents mean to you? You've got no more than 5 seconds to say to the people next door to you, what does honouring your parents mean to you? Ready? Go. Couple things from the balcony. What does honouring your parents mean to you? To love them, to respect them. On the left-hand side, make them proud. Integrity. In the middle, show that you care. Yep. Trusting them. Okay. On the side over here. Honour the intent of what they said. Yep. Anything else? Obeying their rules. Bit of a reaction there, wasn't there, really? In the ancient world, when these words were written, family was the central unit for the whole of society. It was for the well-being of the person, for a people, a nation. The well-being begins in the home. For the Israelites, they were about to enter the promised land. And God gave them this important command, respect and caring for your parents was a way to ensure that wisdom and values were passed down from one generation to the next. So this command emphasized the importance of family relationship in God's design. You see, honoring your father and mother is not a social duty. As we all look in a few moments, it's a spiritual responsibility too. It reflects the order and the authority that God gives. That's the context. What's the foundation? Well, begin with, we need to understand this is command. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't something I would like you to do. This is command of Christ. Putting it bluntly, to be Christ-like is to be a child who honours their parents. That's why I think Paul repeats it in Ephesians, and that's why also Jesus talks about it so much. I know the young people are in this morning. Let me just say, we did not plan this series knowing that you're going to be in the service. I can say that hand on heart, because we planned this series before I ever started coming to CBC. This command is for all children. Whether you're old or young, it's for all children. You know what I just said about planning this service in this series? I did have one of your parents, now this will keep you thinking, who came to me right at the beginning of the service and said, Gary, you tell them. You can work out, is that your mum and dad, or is that someone else's mum and dad? But it is addressed to all children. This is talking to children. This isn't talking about childhood. It involves us speaking permanently into our lives. God is saying this is central to who we are. The gospel, you see, transforms all relationships, starting with our relationships with our parents. Jesus, in Matthew 15, when he confronts people who see themselves as deeply religious and put a mask over disobedience to their children, Jesus challenges them. Their lack of true devotion to God was demonstrated in their attitudes towards their parents. But this also is a positive command. It's not that you shall not. It's a positive way we should act. I did think at one point in preparing this message of actually sitting down and writing up all the various ways that we can honour our mum and dad. I scrubbed that completely, and I'll tell you why. Because the way you're going to honour your parents is going to be different from the way that I honour my parents. And if we're not careful, we'll just look at that list, and it's a tick list. I've done that, I've done that, and I've done that, and I've done that. But it can't be a tick list exercise, can it? Because with the way we honour God our Father can also not be done as a tick list exercise. This commandment is about adopting the right attitude. The right attitude to our parents. So let's go back to that word honour. Treat your parents. Have the right attitude towards them, the properly respect, and change the way that we speak to and of your parents, the way you think about your parents, the way you act towards your parents. Listen carefully. every person in this room is a child. Everyone. Doctors, am I correct? I know simple biology. So how do we act? How do we speak? How do we think of our parents? So this is about even when we get older. One of the things we have learnt in our own Christian life, obedience is never enough, is it? Jesus wants our hearts and for us to honour him. And out of that, we become obedient to our parents. If you ask any of the young people sometimes, at any time, have you obeyed your mum and dad because they told you you had to, rather than you honour them and want to do it? And everyone will say, yes. Does God want us to honour him because he demands our obedience? The answer is no. He wants us to honour him as a Father God who loves us because of all that he's done for us. That's true in our relationships with our parents. For those of us who are older and we have our parents still alive and we have our children around us, can I just ask you to think for one moment how the way that you honour your parents, what example does that give to your children? The things you do for them, your attitude towards them. God, by the way, doesn't ask us to worship our parents or idolize them. There may well be one or two people here this morning. Your peace and your happiness is focused on your parents' approval of you. If that's the case for some of us, we've broken those first two commandments, haven't we? Of putting God first. But we also need to understand, before this commandment was given to the people of Israel, God rescued his people. Before you and I come to this commandment, we remember again that Christ, first and foremost, came and saved us. God the Father sent his Son into the world to seek and to save those who are lost, to redeem us. Our security isn't in the approval of our parents or the love of our parents. Our security is in the love of God the Father, who gave his Son for us. Jesus was very clear on this when he talks about it in Matthew 12. Have a look with me in verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother, brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Sometimes it's hard to honour your parents when you have to honour God at the same time. In a couple of weeks' time, we're going to bring all our congregations together and we're going to be meeting here. And we're going to invite everybody are part of our church, and those who are connected, and I invite you to also invite those people that you've been praying for in the 111 to come and have a picnic with us afterwards. The person who's going to be speaking that morning is a chap called Mark Detzler. And a few years ago, I went to speak at Mark's church, and I spoke at a baptism service. And a young girl stood up, and she gave her testimony. She was from Iran, and she was a student in Bristol. And while she was a student, she made contact with the church, and miraculously, her life was transformed. She met Christ, and she gave her life to him. As I sat listening to her testimony, it hit home to me. She said, "I rang up my mum and dad in Iran and told them I'd become a Christian." She then went on to say, within 10 hours, her father in Iran was arrested by the police. And they arrested him because from their point of view, he allowed his daughter to convert from Islam to become a Christian. Her story was quite amazing, because she then went on and said, "Well, my sister and my mum is talking to me now. My dad isn't, but I'm praying that he will." Honouring your father and mother does mean that we honour God first, but we respect them. And we hold them in authority. It means setting an example to them. So we need to adopt the right attitude. We also need to understand this is personal. What does it say here? Have a look in Exodus 20 again. Honor, what's the next word? Your. Honour your parents. This isn't something abstract or something we can subcontract out. It's not a case here of saying, "Oh, that's my brother, that's my sister's responsibility." This is about your responsibility for your parents. Your brother and your sister may honour your mum and dad differently than you, but you are still to honour them too. Honour your father and mother. It's not something we can contract out either to professionals. There are occasions when our mum and our dad, because of their frailty, we need to put care into place. That means honouring them. But when a carer comes in and does work with your mum or your dad, it doesn't replace you in all of this. So what does like honouring your mother and father mean to you in your situation? Can you have a think? Some of you, your parents are still alive. Some of you, your parents are elderly. For some of you, your parents don't follow the Lord Jesus or know the Lord Jesus. For some of you who are younger, you live with your mum and dad. What does it mean to honour them? There's no hard and fast rules. What God gives us here is a commandment about our attitude of our heart. Adopt the right attitude. It's personal. What does it tell us here? We're to honour both parents. Now, for us to hear that, that's not particularly radical. When this commandment was given, this was very, very radical. To honour your father and your mother? In this culture, you honour your father, and if you're a boy, you were the second in the family line, and your mum came much further down in all of this. But what Jesus says here, this is for both of them. You may be thinking to yourself, "Well, Gary, that's fine, but you don't know my mum, and you don't know my dad, well, I need to say to you, this commandment isn't limited by history. We're to live out the grace of God to the people that God brings around us. We need to show them the grace of God. There are a number of occasions when I've spoken to people in church whose parents have been difficult. And they often say to me, Gary, I can never, ever forgive my mum or my dad. And sometimes I confess, as a pastor, there's words that seem inadequate in those situations. Does that make sense? A book I found really, really helpful for me personally, and I know a book that's helped other people at different times, is a book called Forgive by Tim Keller. I don't know if any of you ever read it. If you're struggling with your relationships with your parents, can I invite you to prayerfully sit down and read the book? It's not a Bible, but I think Tim Keller just gives us some real insights into how we are to deal with forgiveness in very difficult situations. God's working in us, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to work through us and touch our parents. I have to say, as a dad, I've messed up more times than I could ever imagine. There are times, just like you, Mike, I just got exasperated. I remember saying to Joy on one occasion about my daughter, I got so annoyed. She's your daughter. My parents messed up. They messed up often. There's not going to be one parent here that's absolutely perfect. But you and I, as a child, need to find ways that we can show God's grace, because God has shown his grace to us. It's commandment to be Christ-like. Honour your father and mother. Adopt the right attitude. It's personal. We're to honour both parents. But this commandment comes with a promise. What's it say? So you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This promise seems to continue. Remember Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is right. They're your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, but it may go well with you. And you may live long in the land. That there's a difference here, isn't there? That Paul changes from the commandment in Exodus and the commandment that he gives out here in Ephesians. Paul doesn't continue his quote, and he leaves out these words, may it live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. He's making a change. He's making a difference here. In the context of the Old Testament, in the covenant community, the laws are coming to Israel as a whole. The penalty for Israel's collective failing of not keeping them was that they would go into exile. If God's people didn't remain faithful, God would take them out to the promised land and take them somewhere else. Deuteronomy 11 tells us this, you shall therefore keep the whole of the commandments that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you're going over to possess, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them and to their offspring. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says this, For I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you would live long and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Living long in the land, in the Old Testament context, was for the whole of community. It was a blessing to them. If you honour your father and mother, if you stay faithful to God, you'll stay in this land that God's given. But there's a family context to all of this too. Parents, if you teach your children to know of all that God has done for the people of Israel, you tell them the story of the Exodus, the Passover, of the laws. You remind them of God's covenant. Remind them that all that God has done, of God's laws, to this generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. You're laying a foundation for them, that they will be obedient to God too. Parents, if you're a parent this morning, the primary influence on your children isn't the church or school. It's you. I know some teachers are saying, psychology would say, when they get to the age of 12, their most influencing people around them is their peer group. Yes, but they spend more time with you in family. Your primary focus as a parent is to enable your child to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. If you do that for your children, they will be blessed. They will know what's right and what's wrong. They know what's good and what's bad. They will discover what true discipleship looks like because they not only hear the words that you say, but they see how it's worked out in your lives too. If you speak to your generation, they will speak it to the next generation, and they will speak it to the next generation. There's an onflowing of this. I know in this church, and I know one of two families that I've met, it's amazing, isn't it? God's blessed you as a family by not only the grandparents, but your children and your grandchildren are following the Lord Jesus too. We need to continually speak about the Lord. Keep encouraging them. Now, those are grandparents. Can I just say this hasn't stopped for you? How are you going to carry on encouraging your child, your son or a daughter who's a mum and a dad? How are you going to remind them that you're praying for them and encouraging them? You know, in the Old Testament, it often refers to those who become disobedient to the Lord Jesus. It says that their children walks in the way of their father. Wouldn't it be great if people look at your life and the way that you're actually sharing, verbally, living, showing your children, and they look and say they walked in the way of their mum and dad too. That's why I think Paul says this in Ephesians 6 again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training instructions of the Lord. So the same duty that was given to the Old Testament, to the people of Israel, who were just about to go into the promised land, keep telling your children, keep reminding them, that promise, that command is given to us too. I think it's fantastic, isn't it? that we got such great leaders amongst our children and people, don't you? I think this is quite a unique church in that. But I need to say to you again, it's not their responsibility to enable your children to become disciples of the Lord Jesus. It's yours. It's mine. Paul gives reasons to motivate your children to obey their parents. First, it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do for family cohesion. Secondly, it actually fulfills the command of God. Thirdly, it enables children to see what it's like to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. This command comes with a promise of a good life and a long life. That's what it says in Ephesians 6. If children grow up well, if they know the rules, they know the boundaries, their lives will be different. They will respect authority. A long life they will discover in the Lord Jesus. But some of you are sitting here to me and saying, Gary, that's good words. But my son, my daughter, is not walking with the Lord Jesus right now. You need to hear me very carefully. I believe that you've been faithful in the way that you've brought up your children. What you have done under the guidance of God. But with all children, they have to come to that place themselves of deciding to follow the Lord Jesus or not. Don't allow the evil one to put on you the guilt which isn't yours. You've been faithful. You may look back and say, I would love to do things differently, but you've been faithful. You've prayed. Carry on. God may still have a plan for your child to come to know him. Oh, by the way, Ephesians adds something that Exodus doesn't. Fathers, listen carefully. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up with training and instructions of the Lord. What's all that about? It means don't put rules and regulations in place that are unnecessary. Don't do that. I find it interesting here it says, fathers, but instruct your children. I meet too many Christians and too many Christian families who look to the wife and say, that's your responsibility. It isn't. What Paul says here, dads, be a part of your child's upbringing, your child's development, up in the training and instructions of the Lord. There's a real promise here. It may live long in the land, may live a long life, may live a good life. They may come to know the Lord Jesus for themselves. That's what we're really praying for, isn't it? I invite you to just close your eyes a moment. We're all parents. We're to honour our mum and dad, no matter of the past. It doesn't necessarily mean that we obey everything they say, but we honour them. We're to show them the grace that God our Father has shown us. Father, I just pray for those of us this morning who are struggling, because as we look at our parents, of the past or the present, Father, we find it hard to love them, let alone honour them. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would do a miracle in each one of our hearts, that we'll get to that point where we can honour our parents and begin to show them grace upon grace as you've shown us. Not that we bring ourselves into harm's way, but we do honor them. Father, for some of us who are parents and our children at this point in time are not walking closely with you, Father, we bring them to you. We cry out to you, Lord, in your mercy, may they come to understand who you are. And Father, as children of yours, we want to honor you with all our heart, mind, and soul. And out of that, we want to be obedient disciples of yours. So, Lord, in all these things, we cannot do it alone without the moving and the work of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, renew us. Fill us again, that we may be the people you called us to be. In Jesus Christ's name.